program.
The viewpoints expressed on The Edge are not necessarily those of this radio station, its staff, management, or other sponsors.
It's time for The Edge Radio broadcast with your host, Daniel Lott. You can join Daniel and his guests as we discover the truth together. Within the continental U.S., call toll-free 1-800-996-9638 or locally here in Indiana, 359-5593. That's toll-free 1-800-996-9638 or locally at 359-5593. You can find out more about our guests and topics by logging on to The Edge's website, theedgeam.com. That's theedgeam.com. And now here's your host for The Edge Radio broadcast. Here's Daniel Lott.
Well, welcome to the Edge Radio broadcast, Bart.
Well, thanks.
It's a great to have you on, and I tell you, we had you on before, and it was such a great program that the program director and I said, well, let's get Bart back on. We always want to talk about the newest information about the moon. But, Bart, as we talk about whether or not we went to the moon or not, just give a brief bio of how you came to get the, what you might call the smoking gun, the video that shows it's a hoax.
Well, I started out when I was a kid, about 14 years old, as a big fan of the moon landing. And one day I was about 14 years old, and I had a bedroom wall covered with pictures of the moon landing up for about, 6 years at that time. And then I saw this TV show where they had on there a gentleman who worked for NASA during the Apollo program who said it was impossible to go to the moon. It still is. And they did it as a Cold War bluff to fool the Soviets into thinking we were more advanced than they really were.
Mm-hmm.
10 years go by, I'm a filmmaker, and I'm editing one day for the gentleman who produced that segment I'd seen 10 years earlier. He hooks me up with this gentleman who suggests I do a film about it. So he pointed out things like the shadows intersecting, and they should be parallel if they're lit solely by the sun. The fact that there's no crater underneath the engine. It looks like the landing vehicle was placed there.
Mm-hmm.
And that two of the three guys have never given a one-on-one interview at that time, as well as the administrator of NASA resigning days before the first mission. So I started the film under the theory it might be true, and I went through the archives, and I found one mislabeled tape. They aired about 10 seconds of it to the public, but we found the unedited version showing the staging of a shot that's allegedly halfway to the moon when, in fact, they're still in Earth orbit, proving that they were on the rocket. They went up in front of witnesses, they could splash down in front of witnesses, and they could get convincing zero-gravity footage, but they never left Earth orbit. And this footage proves that because they're faking a shot of being halfway to the moon looking back at a tiny Earth, and the way that they fake it's very clever. However, we have the unedited version proving that it's a fake shot, then it is no longer a theory, my friends, that we did not go to the moon. It's a fact. And if you go to moonmovie.com, you can see samples of this footage as well as other things, and you can see it for yourself and decide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I have seen that footage, Bart, and I'd have to say it's quite convincing. And, of course, most of the questions that were emailed to the station during the week for you really pretty much are challenging your contention that we didn't go. But I would dare say that most of them haven't seen the footage, and it's too bad we didn't get that up on the Edge website. Maybe we could take the outtake because there's just at least a couple of snapshots of that, because it's phenomenal how that you clearly see that the astronauts are in orbit, and then they pull away something from the portal, and there they are. Are they supposed to be circling the moon, or where are they supposed to be when they take that shot?
Well, if your listeners can imagine a television screen mostly black with a little blue tennis ball-sized Earth in the middle of it, this is allegedly 130,000 miles away from the Earth, or halfway to the moon. The astronauts explain that there's only one window that faces the Earth and that the TV camera is completely blocking the window. In other words, the lens of the video camera is to that glass so that you could see this tiny Earth far away. That's the only way you'd have to do it. Well, what they really did was they were in Earth orbit, and there was a circular window, and outside of which it was completely filled with the Earth in low orbit. And with the camera pulled back away from the glass, 10, 15 feet back down the tunnel where the spacecrafts are connected, and they turned out all the lights, and they even insert a little crescent piece into the circular window. So the walls around the circular window are completely black because they turn out the lights. They talk about this trickery, because they thought these conversations would be edited out. Well, with the camera back and the lights off, you're seeing part of the Earth outside of a circular window. It looks like the Earth floating in space, mm-hmm. but in fact, it's a view in Earth orbit of the Earth partially out the window yep. with the walls black around it. So mm-hmm. it looks like the Earth floating in space. It's a very clever forgery, but we have the unedited version showing how they staged this shot, proving that they are faking a shot of being halfway to the moon. Mm-hmm. So you have to ask yourself, if they're faking being halfway to the moon, it's because they couldn't go halfway.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't go halfway, they can't go all the way. And it means because they all had identical equipment that none of them went.
Mm-hmm. Well, now I guess when you talk about halfway, one of the main things that is suggested by many people is that there is the Van Allen radiation belt, which apparently, I suppose, they say that humans could not go through without being fried like a piece of bacon. But have you ever heard of any scientists or read any scientists' view of the Van Allen radiation belt as to whether or not someone could go through there with at least the technology of the 60s?
Well, Dr. James Van Allen originally said that there would be a 50% chance of a fatality going through these fields of radiation. Basically, the Van Allen radiation belt starts at about 1,000 miles above the Earth. It extends 25,000 miles. The only time a human being in world history who has said to have gone through it would be the missions to the moon. Every other manned mission in world history has been below the radiation belt, from Gemini, Mercury, Soyuz, Skylab, the space shuttle. Only time the human being has ever allegedly gone through it was from 1969 to 1972. And oddly enough, since 1972, no human has gone further than Earth orbit. Not an animal, not any country, not China, not the Soviet Union. And you kind of wonder about that. And then the fact that they're faking just being halfway to the moon means that they could not go through it. Now, Van Allen, even though he said there was a 50% chance fatality if you went through it, he recanted that when Kennedy set the goal to go to the moon before the end of the 1960s. In fact, von Braun originally said to go to the moon, you'd have to have a space station first, which we're currently constructing, and then the rocket would have to weigh 800,000 tons. Now, the Saturn V rocket was something like 6,500 tons, so that's a difference of about 30,000%. So he went down on his math of the size of the vehicle that it would take to get there by 30,000% in a year or two after there was this political conquest to go to the moon. He tried to make it seem more feasible. Well, this footage proves that they were on the rocket, but they simply never left Earth orbit. And you have to wonder, I mean, the space shuttle's killed 14 people so far, mm-hmm. and they're only going 200 miles above the Earth. How could we have gone 100,000% farther, a third of a century ago, with less technology than in a digital watch? How could that be? It's this anomaly mm-hmm. in the history of flight, this spike, and then it drops back down. The administration's talking about returning to the moon a half a century after allegedly going the first mm-hmm. time. That's quite a gap. I mean,
yeah.
Lindy flew across the Atlantic in 28. Would it be 50 years before someone flew over the Atlantic again?
Well, now there's an oddity for you, and it seems sort of like the JFK files, how they sealed them up for 50 years, and they said, well, you know, let's add another 75 years to it. I mean, they want that thing so far out that the whole society, anyone can even remember that it even happened, before. And probably even then, they're not going to open up the case file for JFK. So here it is with the moon. Perhaps when they get closer to going, they'll say, well, we really can't go this time, maybe in another 25 years. So we'll never really know that theory until somebody goes through that Van Allen radiation belt.
Yeah, the space shuttle went up to an altitude of about 365 miles in 1994, and that was the highest anyone had gone since the Apollo missions. Now, they're 650 miles before the beginning of the radiation, and even from 650 miles away, the radiation is so severe they can close their eyes and see it as sparks of light going through the retinas of their closed eyes. And CNN issued a report that said, quote, the radiation belt surrounding the Earth is more dangerous than previously believed.
Hmm.
Right. Now, how could someone just going to 650 miles before the beginning of it know more than people who allegedly went through it?
Mm-hmm.
Because they didn't go through it.
Well, Bart, I went to your website. A funny thing happened on the way to the moon.com.
And or moonmovie.com.
No, I like that one a lot better. It's a lot easier to get to. And I looked at that video clip of the supposedly of the three of the astronauts with the news conference there. And I tell you, well, they were about some of the bleakest downer looking people. Why is it they're about looks like they're getting ready to cry, or they're just like sick of being there? What's that look all about?
Well, the only time they gave a press conference was about 3 weeks after they allegedly returned from the moon. And we got the film footage, transferred it, color-corrected it, and synchronized it from two cameras. And the three guys at their press conference after this alleged great accomplishment look like they're at a funeral.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
They're looking down. They all have scowls on their faces. Mm-hmm. They don't want to answer the questions. They keep passing them off to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And they're being prompted. We found teleprompters hidden in the desk. That they were being prompted. Now, why would they need to be prompted about what answer to give if it was a first-hand experience?
Yeah, or the fact was that they were lying, and they didn't like to have to lie, and they were forced to sit there. That's what it looks like. They were being forced to lie, and they didn't like it.
Yeah, if I went 100,000 times farther than Earth orbit and didn't die, got to see my wife and family, you couldn't wipe the smile off my face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
look
most
at the faces of the people coming back from the Super Bowl win. They look exactly the opposite.
Uh-huh.
The men coming back from the moon who looked depressed and discouraged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it reminds me of the invasion of Grenada when we rescued the college people. It seems to me somebody I think it was that group. Somebody went and kissed the ground when they were either rescued or came back to America. You would think when they landed, you know, they'd be kissing the ground of America, saying, "I'm glad to be back down on this soil." But there were a lot of strange anomalies. Now, what about this huge gap between the astronauts even talking about their moon expedition, which is supposed to be the greatest achievement man has ever done? Why did it take 30 years for them even to answer the phone?
Yeah, Neil Armstrong, his first and only interview was given maybe 6 months ago for 60 Minutes, and I think that was part of his deal with an authorized biography. The guy's trying to make a few million dollars in his retirement, I guess, to pass on to his descendants. So he was kind of obligated to do this one interview. Prior to that, there's no one-on-one television or print interview that we know of. In fact, there's not a single still picture of him on the surface of the moon, believe it or not. I've been down to the archives. I've asked the people, show me a still picture of Neil Armstrong, first man on the moon. There's not a single picture. He did not want to be interviewed, did not want to lie. He didn't even want his picture taken. Now, their excuse is that, well, he was taking all the pictures, and that's why he's not in them. Well, you know, if you've never been to the moon before and there's radiation and micrometeorites and 250 degrees minus, you know, in the shade and 250 degrees plus in the sunlight, you might want to take a backup camera. I mean, you know, just in case. They would probably, if they were really there, both have cameras. The fact is, that was his excuse for just not wanting to even be photographed as the first man on the moon. So, I mean, it's pretty strange when you start looking into these things. The administrator of NASA, you know, James Webb, resigned days before the first Apollo mission without explanation. Now, here he is about to put this feather in his cap, being the guy behind going to the moon, and he resigns days before the first mission. No one ever wonders why.
Well, Bart, anytime you get into... And I don't like to use the word conspiracy, because a conspiracy is a conspiracy really means two people that are in collusion with an activity. But in this, for the listening audience, let's just call it that, because they may think that's what it is. But in any known government conspiracy, there's usually some sort of associated death count. Has anybody been mysteriously died for any reason around the moon landing or the development of the whole process?
Yeah, if you take the Apollo crews and the Apollo backup crews, there was a 15% fatality rate among them and non-space-related accidents. 15% of them had fatal accidents. That's pretty darn high, if you ask me.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were in an office of 25 people and 15% of them or 6 of them, whatever, had, you know, fatalities, homicide police would be all over the place. But in this particular case, they were done as warnings, I believe, to the astronauts. These were people who would not cooperate. We've also released at moonmovie.com the Apollo 1 accident report. And according to the dead man's son, Gus Grissom, his son is a 747 pilot, he's taken that spacecraft apart, and he says the Apollo 1 fire was set deliberately. Now, this is the crew that died on January 27th, 1967, that would have been the crew to go to the moon. However, their commander, Gus Grissom, was openly critical of the quality of the spacecraft. In fact, weeks before he burned alive, he hung a lemon the size of a grapefruit on the door of the command module where you go into it and invite in the media to proclaim the moon rock, rocket a piece of junk or a lemon. A few weeks later, he's burned alive with his crewmates. So his own son says the fire was set deliberately.
Yeah, so we have a developing body count associated with it. You know, that's always a telltale sign when the government's involved with some kind of activity behind the scenes. Bart, the one picture I want to talk about is, and I don't know if you have anything on this, but supposedly when the limb blasted off from the moon, and I guess they left the lander part there, who was taking the picture?
Well, they allegedly had a remote-controlled television camera. But because of the delay, it would have been really hard to synchronize. Now, their excuse is that they accounted for the delay or something, but I think right away people saw this perfect pan up of the camera perfectly when the lunar module was being jettisoned, and it kind of seemed funny. We interviewed, since the completion of A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, 9 Apollo astronauts, and Eugene Cernan, without even being asked about it, kind of said, and there was nothing fake about this shot. You know, we didn't even ask him. It's kind of like pulling a guy over for speeding, and the guy says, I didn't rob the bank. You know, here he is already making excuses for things that are, you know, pretty hard to explain when we haven't even asked him about it yet.
Okay, well, let's look at that scenario. If there was some sort of remote control camera, okay, so that means somebody at NASA had their finger on the control of that camera, and so that means that the astronauts had to say, okay, we're going to blast off in 3, 2, 1, get the camera rolling and get ready to pan up. And so I suppose in all that just worked perfectly in order. They sent a signal to this camera. So I wondered, is that camera still there too? I mean, couldn't they take more pictures with the limb back of the orbiting mothership?
Well, all that stuff they say, you know, the batteries ran out or doesn't work anymore or whatever. Yeah, in theory they could. In theory, you could send a probe around the moon like the Japanese did about 5 years ago to take close-up pictures of the landing sites and see if there was any, you know, human artifacts left over. Japan's probe had 5 different type of cameras on it. Unfortunately, they all simultaneously malfunctioned when they achieved lunar orbit. And, you know, the Japanese can't make a good camera.
Well, they sure can, except for when it comes to the moon.
Right.
Yeah, and it seems that there were several Mars exploratory, I guess spaceships or whatever, to go there that failed. And many people believe that there was some purpose in that, too. Perhaps they were heading down to the face on Mars. I don't know. Bart, here's a question for you. This is not anything like any of the other questions, so I'll just ask this as the first one. Some believe that the moon is not a planet at all, but maybe something else, maybe a ship or something. Do we need to even talk about that?
No. I mean, I'm not really a conspiracy theorist. The fact is they didn't go to the moon. It's a fraud. It's a lie. You can say conspiracy, whatever. The fact is they didn't go. I know for a fact they didn't go. I bet my life on it.
Okay.
If you start looking at the things we're talking about and you have an open mind, yeah, really, they don't start adding up. A lot of the UFO community who are intellectuals believe, well, there's a reason why these pictures are fake. You know, there's a reason why these were shot in a television studio, because they really went to the far side of the moon where the aliens are. You know, that's just another distraction to get people to think they went to the moon when they didn't. The government loves anyone who thinks we went to the moon. And whether that's because there's aliens there or UFO bases or whatever, the fact is they didn't have the technology, they couldn't go, and they faked it. It was like a bluff in a poker game, you know, with the Soviets, and they pretended to be more advanced than we really were.
That's true. I mean, and Bill Gates was still in diapers, so how could they have went?
You really do wonder about it.
You know,
I mean, my $30 digital watch has more computing power than the entire rocket.
Okay.
How could they go from a dead stop on the moon surface and perfectly time their blast off with computers that are so slow, and then get to 4,000 miles an hour and mate perfectly with the ship orbiting the moon at 4,000 miles an hour? The idea that they could do that 6 times with that equipment is just really odd. So it's the fact that they claim that they provided air conditioning for this thing in 250 degrees heat with what are essentially car batteries, with a bank of car batteries. I mean, you go to the desert in your Cadillac and crank that baby up and turn off the engine, I wonder how long you're going to have AC power, about 10, 20 minutes. Mm. They're saying they powered it for 3 days in 250 degree heat, down to 72 degrees. Those are great batteries, you know. And yet the technology was identical to what you use in car batteries.
Well, I listened to Bart to the interview you did with The Edge here. I think it was last year, or year before. Whenever I looked at on the archives there, and I listened, and one of the things what made me laugh was when I asked you a question about a truth of the matter, and you said, "Well, the truth is whatever they say it is. You know, whatever NASA says is what it is. You know, because they're the ones holding all the cards." That to me, that's kind of hilarious, because if they say there is a battery, you know, if they could do it with a battery, then that's because they say they can, but they don't necessarily have to prove it. And frankly, I don't think they've proven anything. Bart, here's a question for you. Who was served by this fake moon landing?
Well, mind you, this took place during the Nixon administration. I think, number one, it was done to make the Soviets. The Soviets had launched the first satellite, the first animal, the first man, the first woman, the first spacewalk, the first crew of three, first of two spacecraft at the same time. And, you know, for every 20 hours we spent in space, they spent 100 hours. And the latest technology was space. And if we were that far behind in the best technology, that meant we were, you know, I guess impotent, you know, and being able to fight a mechanized war, nuclear war. So, like I said, in poker, we bluffed. We bet, you know, $500,000 when we had two twos and they had three threes to make them back down. But it also had great domestic benefit. The Vietnam War was going on at the time, civil unrest, unequaled since the Civil War, and this was a great pep rally. You know, hey, we won the space race. Whoever got to the moon first won the space race. Mm. And we couldn't do it. They were more advanced, and so we cheated. Mm. You know, we accuse other governments throughout history as being cheaters, and now we've become one of them. Mm. And that's, you know, really sad.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's a question for you. Somebody asked, is for those that believe that we did go to the moon, then there's a question for that end of it. Have you heard of any information that was purported to be a ting or a hollow sound upon the landing of one of our vehicles on the moon? I guess that the question is assuming or suggesting the moon is hollow.
No, that's more folklore. I've heard that through the UFO community.
Okay.
I've never heard that.
All right,
other than a rumor of that.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think the moon is hollow. I don't think it's an alien spacecraft hollowed out or whatever. I think it's less dense.
Man, I just can't get you to talk about that UFO.
Well, I mean, it's just a distraction.
It really
is. The Ketchburg thing in Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
The government said it was a meteorite. Then they accidentally leaked out that it was a UFO, and that's where everyone went down the UFO path.
Mm-hmm.
What I believe is that it was a Soviet spy satellite, and that was what they really didn't want people to know so that they could use the decoding for as long as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So that UFO, maybe, you know, I don't think it was a meteorite, and I don't think it was a UFO either.
Yeah.
I think the government can use the UFO thing to cover up and have conspiracy theorists and intellectuals go down these divergent paths,
mm-hmm.
which as long as it leads them away from the truth, that's fine with them.
Mm-hmm. Bart, when I we were talking about getting you on the show, so we did some research on the moon controversy, you know, just to get some background on it, and there are obviously a lot of sites that have to do with the whether or not we went to the moon, but it seemed to me what we found was your site stood alone as one of the top-ranked sites for those that believe that we didn't go to the moon, and all the rest of them are explaining how that anyone who believes that is a kook, and here's why, because they got, you know, they got their proof and whatnot. But then the middle group of people are those that apparently had websites about the moon. We got more dead links about the moon hoax. Is that because these folks either A, are cheesy and couldn't afford their hosting bill, or B, they found out that they really did go and they dropped out their websites?
Well, I typed in moon hoax on Google recently, and the first 15 sites were people saying that we really went to the moon. It's not a conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
And these were NASA sponsored links.
Yeah.
So NASA is paying Google so that when people type in moon hoax, the first 10, 15 are that the moon hoax people are wrong. If we really went to the moon, then anyone who says otherwise is a moron. So why are they spending tens of thousands of hours in website construction and millions of dollars to convince morons that we really went to the moon? Thou dost protest too much, is what I think. You know, there is something to defend. The fact is we did not go. I gave them the benefit of the doubt as long as possible. I went from being a big fan, yay, rah, we went to the moon, to realizing maybe we didn't, and then finally, oh, my God, we really didn't.
Well, Bart,
and people have this psychological hurdle to overcome. It's like telling them their mother was an axe murderer before they were born. People just do not want to believe that the government is that corrupt. No, surely not.
Bart, when you gathered this information about this, I guess I would call it the smoking gun tape of the fraud. They're obviously in orbit, not millions of miles away. How is it that NASA accidentally let you get that tape?
Well, during the only 9/11 trial so far, the defense team received classified information by accident. Oops. Through their disclosure process, the defendant, the terrorist guy, got classified information by mistake through a clerical error. And that was a couple of years ago.
Yes, it did.
We're talking about 35-year-old documents. Most reporters were satisfied with the first few reels sent out by NASA, and they edit their stories from that. I was the only reporter who ever went through everything from just the first mission, figuring if they didn't go, they're more likely to have made a mistake the first time they faked it. And lo and behold, there was a tape, and what was on the label and on the tape were two different things. They put the wrong label on the tape, and no one found it until I did about 5 years ago. Pop it in, it says, do not show to the public on the screen, and it's the only unedited reel of the entire moon mission.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is pre-edited. This is the only one that's unedited. Mm-hmm. If you go to moonmovie.com, you can even hear some really interesting audio. At the beginning of this tape, where you see the little blue Earth floating with black around it, you hear NASA say, Goldstone says the TV picture looks great. NASA isn't even getting live pictures. It's going to some station out in the desert, and they are not sending them live to NASA. This is going to a videotape system that's being recorded for edited for playback later, all of which they admit on the tape because they thought these conversations would be edited out.
Did you say a Goldstone as if it's some sort of organization?
Well, Goldstone is a tracking station. Okay. I think it's out in California or Nevada or something out west.
Oh, that's interesting because you triggered a thought in my mind. I just watched Bourne Conspiracy, I think is what it was, and he said it's Operation Treadstone. So I was thinking, that same kind of stone thing kind of going here. And speaking of stones, has anyone ever questioned the moon rocks coming from the moon?
Yeah. Their evidence that they go to are three things to say we went to the moon. The eyewitness testimony, of course we know people can lie, especially when you have the greatest event in human history and no independent press coverage whatsoever. It's a TV picture completely controlled by the government. And these three people at the very top of the pyramid. And so, their eyewitness testimony, that's really not proof.
Mm-hmm.
A second is the moon rocks. Well, lo and behold, Von Braun, the genius behind the rocket, and basically he was technical director of going to the moon. They were in such a hurry to go to the moon, he had time to take off a couple of weeks and fly down to Antarctica a year before they went to the moon to collect lunar meteorites so that they could use these as moon rocks. And they also had ceramic slabs, and they basically manufactured them. Has evidence in court ever been false? Has there ever been false evidence? Well, yes, there has. So that's not proof, because it's a federal crime to be in possession of a moon rock, so there's no independent verification anyway. Then they say that there are these laser reflectors on the moon that universities or whoever bounces lasers off of. And so they had to have gone to the moon because they're there. Well, gee, did they forget that a year earlier the Soviet Union put laser reflectors on the moon with an unmanned probe? Well, what do you know? So all their proof can be refuted.
Uh-huh. I see. Hey, let's ask you a little bit more. This is a question just came in about the suits, because you mentioned the sheer amount of batteries there would have to be in that limb to cool it down for several days. Of course, they had to drop it down. I'm sure they didn't leave the lead acid batteries laying around on the moon surface, supposedly. I don't think they were hugging trees back then. But what about the suits? Were they pressurized?
They were pressurized. And if you look at the suits that are used on board the space shuttle, like when they're out repairing the Hubble, all of the joints, including the hand and the elbows, are kind of have metal accordion material in them. And yet the first moon mission gloves and arm pieces did not. There's a great famous picture of allegedly a Buzz Aldrin standing there on the moon with the faceplate reflecting the lunar module.
Mm-hmm.
And his arm is relaxed and bent at 90 degrees. And it's wrinkly. You know what? The suit isn't even pressurized. How could it be? If there are wrinkles in it, and his arm isn't blown out like the Michelin Man without having the metal joints in it. So, I mean, right in that picture, you can see the suit isn't even pressurized.
And, of course, it would have to be pressurized, wouldn't it?
Of course. But it wasn't, because otherwise the system to pressurize it would have been too heavy, and Earth gravity, which is where they were, they would have fallen over backwards.
Mm-hmm.
So they had those air conditioning units and pressure units removed so that the spacesuit was basically hollow,
mm-hmm.
and then it couldn't be pressurized, and that's why it was all wrinkly. And like, why did the guy could bend his arm mm-hmm. at 90 degrees?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why they put those joints in there. Otherwise, people would be like the Michelin Man, and it'd be very difficult to have the dexterity to lean over and pick up stuff.
Mm-hmm. And everybody, you're listening to the Edge Radio broadcast on the Newsmaker line is Bart Sebro, and we're talking about whether or not we went to the moon. If you have a question, go to the Fast Blast link there on the EdgeAM.com website. It'll come right here to the studio. Bart, it seems to me that if we didn't go, the Russians surely would have known that. They were already doing Sputnik and everything else up in space. Were they in on the hoax?
No. They didn't have the ability to track Apollo spacecraft until 1972. And then as soon as they had that technology, the last three moon missions were abruptly canceled. Now, it's possible that they found out later through espionage. It's possible China found out, the Soviet Union or Israel found out that through espionage years later that the moon missions were fraudulent. That being the case, one could ask, well, why don't they just blurt it out to the world? Well, that's one way of looking at it, but if you look into it deeper, what would be to their benefit would be not to release it to the world, to hold that juicy morsel over our heads for blackmail year after year, administration after administration. And if you start seeing the behavior of the United States done to these countries that seem to contradict logic, it might be because we're being blackmailed mm-hmm. to do certain things, because there is proof, and the world leaders want to hold on to that so they can hold it overhead mm-hmm. for as long as possible.
Well, because your website comes up really high up on search engines, and you have so much information, and you actually have the smoking gun along with all the other information which you have. I mean, you're obviously answering the questions bam, 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 which means you're quite literate in this field. Don't you think that you might be like the poster child of the NSA or someone? Like, do they got your face somewhere with a dartboard and say, we're going to get this guy? Have you ever been harassed?
No, I think it's such a nutty thing to say, hey, we didn't go to the moon. It's a conspiracy. It was done in a TV studio. I mean, it sounds pretty nutty. There's been kind of American folklore about that already. It existed at the time it was taking place. You know, from the time it took place till prior to my film coming out, 10% of the American public thought that the moon landings were fraudulent. Since the film came out, that has gone up to 15%. But still, we're like a mosquito in the Taj Mahal. Yeah, there's just so much going for them that I don't think we're really that much of a nuisance mm-hmm. to them.
Yeah, I was talking before you came on the air. I mentioned many events, or several events at least, of what the government wants us to believe. They want us to believe there was one shooter at JFK. They want us to believe that unskilled Muslims took control of aircraft and did aerodynamic acrobatics with jumbo jets and penetrated our defenses and that. I mean, and they also want us to believe that we didn't know the Japanese were going to bomb Pearl Harbor in advance. And even the History Channel says that the government knew. It seems there's a long history of the government lying to the public. So I'm really not that much against what you're saying, because I'm coming from the standpoint that they've got some proving to do to get their credibility back.
Yeah, that's true. The government spends $6 billion a year to classify material, to keep information from the public. They spend $6 billion a year. It happens to be the exact same amount to save the life of everybody from the bird flu. So, you know, everybody's life, and to keep secrets from them, they're spending the same amount of money.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now here's a question, and I think this is sort of a challenge to you. It says that somebody wants to know, did you pose as a Discovery Channel crew to get to interview a astronaut?
No. We did tell them that we were filming a documentary about the moon landings. We didn't tell them that it was to prove that they were fraudulent, believing that if they had known that, they wouldn't give us an interview.
Mm-hmm.
So we did say that we were doing a documentary about the Apollo moon landings, and they assumed that we were there, you know, to do it, mm-hmm. one in favor of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, I really don't have a problem with that anyway. I mean, even in my own life, I've had to, you know, I don't know whether, I know I've done something similar to that, whether I call a store to ask a question, although it was about myself, but I'd be asking it in the third party because I wanted to know an objective truth, you know. So I don't really see a problem with that at all. Which astronaut was it that slugged you?
That was Buzz Aldrin.
And why did he slug you again?
Well, since the completion of part one, I had the idea, why don't I just put a Bible in front of these guys and ask them to take an oath, like they do in court, whether or not they went to the moon. Seeing how the Fox special came out, aired three times about how the moon landings are fraudulent, and the belief went from 10 to 15%, I thought, well, this is a legitimate question to ask them. So I went up to Buzz Aldrin in Los Angeles and asked him to swear on the Bible that he walked on the moon, and he refused to do it. Words were exchanged. I called him a liar, you know, for obvious reasons, a coward for being afraid of the truth coming out, and a thief because he just got paid $2,000 to do an interview. He gets paid $2,000 an hour to do an interview. And so I'm like, well, that's stealing, too, because, you know, you're saying you went to the moon and you're misrepresenting, so that's stealing our money. In any case, I didn't plan on saying that, just kind of the heat got turned
up, and he
punched me. You know, it's no big deal. I since apologized to him. I feel like I did provoke him, that it was my fault.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think that at first, or not even for the first year or two,
mm-hmm.
but I, you know,
finally opened
my own mind, mm-hmm. and realized, yeah, you know, I did provoke him, and it was my fault. I didn't mean to say that, and he didn't mean to hit me either. He didn't wake up saying, I can't wait to punch Bart today. It's mm-hmm. one of those things that happen. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
And,
I like the guy. Well, I want to thank you for the footage, man. I mean, it was hilarious to see you getting punched.
Yeah, you can see that at moonmovie.com. You know, he punches me. Another astronaut kicks me in the butt.
Mm-hmm.
They threaten to shoot me. Another guy threatens to hit me.
Yeah.
And you wonder, you know, if I really went to the moon and someone said otherwise, I would think it was hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, sure, I'll swear on the Bible. Do you need me to write it down for you? Mm-hmm. You okay? You need a doctor?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I would find it the most hysterical thing.
Well,
their reaction is like I'm walking up to them beside their wife and saying, so, how's your mistress doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have an entourage of people who believe they went to the moon. Their mm-hmm. relatives believe it. They don't even tell their wives for their own protection. And here I am pulling the skeleton out of the closet, embarrassing them. And that's why they get so angry, because I'm right.
Well,
if I were wrong, there would be no reason to get mad at me.
Well, the other thing is, Bart, these guys are government employees. They're supposed to work for us. We, the taxpayers, have a right to ask them any question we want to.
That's true.
They've been on public dole. Okay, it's not like they work for themselves. And all the information and all the money they collect because we sent them to the moon, seems to me they need to pay the government back for that trip if it's making them money. Because there's not supposed to be the public or the government's employees are not supposed to be in it for profit. Here's a question for you from the Fast Blast. It said somebody believes that the FBI gave the story of 9/11 to TV writers before 9/11. Do you think that the government gave the story of to make the movie Capricorn 1?
Well, about 9/11, I don't have an opinion about it, to tell you the truth. One theory at a time, and this one is, you know, definitely true, they didn't go to the moon. That I don't really have an opinion about 9/11. In regard to Capricorn 1, that's a film about a fake Mars landing that came out in 1978. It had really top Hollywood people in it, Elliot Gould, Sam Waterston, Kelly Savalas, Hal Holbrook, Karen Black, Brenda Vaccaro, And a lot of people in Hollywood, I think, saw that the lighting wasn't correct. I mean, yeah, they may be rocket scientists, but they're not filmmakers.
Mm-hmm.
And they were shooting this in a television studio so that there couldn't be satellite reconnaissance from an unfriendly nation. And they were using really close lights. And even if they used one light really close, because, you know, the sun's 92 million miles away and this light might be 100 feet away, one person standing here and there, their shadows will eventually intersect. When the sun, when it's sunlight only, like they claim, the shadows never intersect, never. However, in a few of the pictures, these shadows from astronaut one or two, they intersect in as much as 90 degrees. And when they're in a deep shadow, often they're brightly lit. And you're wondering, you know, I can look at the light and I say, that's an umbrella light. That's someone bouncing a light into a reflective umbrella to send soft light on the subject. You know exactly what it looks like. That's my business. My job is to make fake scenes look real. That's what a filmmaker does. And that's why I and they could look at it and say, this is not sunlight. This is not outside. This is a television studio lighting. They knew exactly what television studio lighting looked like.
Mm-hmm. On those, the light reflecting, are you sure that light could not reflect from the moon surface itself back?
Well, not according to the astronauts. The astronauts said that the shadows were pitch black. They were just amazingly dark shadows. That's what they said. And some of the pictures, they surely look just like a dark hole. So according to their own testimony, the shadows are pitch black, deep black. So I don't see how you could be on the shadow side of the lunar module and be able to, you know, read the, you know, your name off your, you know, arm. Mm-hmm. That says Aldrin.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't see how you could do that.
And it seems like every movie I have ever seen of any space, moon, Star Wars, whatever, you can always see the stars in the background. But of course, we all know there's no stars in any of the pictures. And I suppose that's because if there were, people would be able to look at that and see that was the Arizona desert?
No. Again, I think they were shot inside, not outside, with the exception of maybe the last Apollo mission. If they were on the moon in bright sunlight, they would probably, I'm shooting white spacesuits, they would probably have the iris almost all the way closed. That would explain why the stars would not appear in the background, because you'd have to have the iris open in order to see the stars. It doesn't, however, explain why they never took pictures of the stars by themselves. Why didn't they just put the camera on a tripod or point it up to the sky, open the iris, and take a picture of the stars? They never did one. In fact, they took three automobiles to the moon that cost, in today's dollars, even though they had fewer parts than a Jeep, $60 million each. They took three $60 million moon buggies to the moon, but they never took a telescope. Can you believe it? Had they put there a photographic telescope that could transmit back to Earth, I mean, we would have seen farther into the universe only up until the Hubble. And the fact is they weren't on the moon, and that's why they didn't take a telescope, because they'd have to contrive unseen galaxies that might one day prove to be non-existent.
Yeah, did you say there are three rovers on the moon?
Yeah, uh-huh.
And is that would be three different places?
Yeah, uh-huh.
And is it convenient that it's on the backside of the moon? Is that why we can never aim the Hubble at the moon to look at that?
No, all the missions, to my knowledge, are on the side of the moon facing the Earth. Now, the ones that they're planning on doing in the future, oddly enough, are going to be on the far side of the moon, which is very dangerous for being out of radio contact. So maybe that has something to do with a better way to fake them in the future. You know, what they'll probably do is put a satellite up there first. They're going to call it a lunar probe, but what it really is a lunar satellite that's going to be in geosync lunar orbit on the far side of the moon. They're going to transmit coded messages and TV pictures up to it, which will simply be transmitted back down so that they will triangulate as coming from that side of the moon.
Well,
that's
Bart,
probably how they'll do it.
Is there any consumer telescope that one can buy to zoom in on the...
According to NASA, no Earth-bound telescope is powerful enough to see anything on the moon surface. Also, according to NASA, the Hubble telescope cannot focus that closely on the moon and would only resolve to one pixel being 200 feet across. Now, we don't know if that's true or not. Maybe the Hubble is capable.
It's true because they say it's true.
Exactly. Well, they say it cannot do that. They say that at the distance of the moon, one pixel is 200 feet left or right. However, a friend of mine bumped into somebody who worked on the Hubble, and they said it could definitely resolve to see man-made objects on the moon just that no one had any need to do that. Mm-hmm. There were scientists lined up to look at the constellations, not at, you know, footprints on the moon, mm-hmm. which they already believed to be there in the first place.
Yeah. Now, which astronaut is that that's in the current edition of, I think, or the last one of Popular Mechanics, telling us how that we should go to Mars? Which one's that?
I'm not sure. A couple of them are talking about going to Mars.
Yeah, I think
it could be Buzz Aldrin, could be John Young.
Yeah, I think it was Buzz Aldrin, and it's quite. I was just looking at it here about a week ago, and there's, you know, drawings and things, and he's saying how they should do it, and seems to me he's sort of coming out of his shell a little bit, but I don't think he wants to talk about the moon, but he's being quoted used as an expert to tell NASA how to get to Mars. But when's the next time we should see any moon activity? Is there anything planned? I mean, because I know the other countries had tried to send telescopes or cameras to circle it to map out the moon. Is there any more plans on that end?
They're planning on sending a lunar probe up in 2008. Of course, this is, you know, controlled by the government, and, you know, either it won't be able to resolve to seeing objects of that size on the moon. You know, the not only did the Japanese send one up that could, and the cameras malfunctioned, the European Space Agency sent up a lunar probe a couple of years ago, and yet it did not have the capability of seeing man-made objects on the moon. Mm-hmm. It couldn't resolve that to mm-hmm. that degree. So I don't know. That's allegedly what's coming down mm-hmm. the pike on that. Certainly, if they can't go to the moon, Mars is a joke. Mm-hmm. You know, yep. I mean, it's 55 million miles away. The moon's a quarter million miles away, and they still can't mm-hmm. go to the moon. So, you know, I don't know what to say. The administration, on the 100th anniversary of flight, said three interesting things about returning to the moon. They said, first, we have to learn how to protect the astronauts from radiation. And I'm like, well, why not do it just the brilliant way that works so good for the Apollo missions? Then they said, perhaps in the lunar soil, we'll find things we can use as fuel. So I'm thinking, well, we were there six times. I don't know that uh-huh. we're going to make any new geological uh-huh. discoveries after uh-huh. six, you know, digging into the dirt.
Uh-huh.
Then they said, going to the moon is a logical first step to Mars and beyond. That's why we have to go to the moon, because it's a logical first step.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we got
to
go
so
there.
So we
first.
Have to go seven times to learn our lesson. Uh-huh. We didn't learn our lesson enough.
Yeah.
Six times they're going from a bicycle back to a tricycle.
Yeah. Yeah.
So those, in and of itself, are mm-hmm. very much leading. And if you go to...
Yeah.
Clinton's book, My Life, page 156, the guy says after spending 8 years in Washington, he came to believe that an old guy back in 69 suggested to him that the moon landings were fake. And he says in his book, page 156, he now believes the old man to be ahead of his time. Now, take that for what it's worth. Mm. It looks like for the first time in world history, the president, a former president of the United States, is very strongly implying that the moon landings were fraudulent.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bart, I tell you what, when you have the smoking gun and information you have, you can be a little bit facetious with, you know, and a little bit mocking toward the government, because, you know, they've got some answers that they need to give. But, Bart, as we end the program, as you've seen this hoax and the depth of the lies and the amount of people with the lies and the money was spent and pilfered from American citizens, has that got you looking in any other direction as to what might be another fraud for you to discover?
Well, I would say this one, my energy is into this truth coming out, period, nothing else, because this is such a symbolic one. Putting a man on the moon is the alleged greatest accomplishment of mankind. If it is proven that this is false, then that will be the finger out of the dike. The eyes will come open, and the other ones, whatever they are, will, I'm sure, come into the light. Now, the government isn't all bad. Unfortunately, there's enough bad in there that is causing the world and our nation to go askew. And George Washington was known for telling the truth, and I think we need leadership like that again, who can admit our mistakes, admit we didn't go to the moon, provide amnesty for everybody, and you can read at moonmovie.com kind of my analysis of what I think about this and how, you know, it should just be announced and forgiven and we can move on.
Okay.
Until we do that, until we learn from our mistakes, like an addiction, people in power are going to do this and worse because they got away with it.
All right, in the final minute, Bart, what is that website again?
That is moonmovie.com.
Mm-hmm. And they can get some DVDs there, can't they?
Yeah, there are four DVDs. There's A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, the best one. Second best is Astronauts Gone Wild, where you see me confronting nine Apollo astronauts. You have the press conference, where they look like they're at a funeral for an hour and a half, and then you have unedited, the entire unedited version of the window shot, which we described, as well as footage of them walking on the moon with the original slate on it, dated 5 days before they left.
Amazing.
As well as lunar orbit going by, where the moon stops, adjusts for a few seconds, and then picks back up in rotation again, proving that it was a model.
No doubt. All right, Bart, thank you for coming on the Edge Radio broadcast. Can we have you on again sometime?
Sure, let me know.
All right, thanks for coming back.
Take care.
Good evening.
Bye.
In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me.
You have been listening to The Edge with Daniel Ott. To subscribe to The Edge newsletter, log on to TheEdgeAM.com. That's TheEdgeAM.com, where you can find out more about the guests and topics discussed on the air. The Edge is being brought to you by Internet Solutions, home of affordable website design and low-cost Internet access. Visit Internet Solutions at ES4.com. That's ES4.com. Until next week, for the Edge Radio broadcast, I'm Chris Moore. See you on the Edge.
News on the USA Radio Network is next. This is AM 1590, WNTS, Beech Grove, Indianapolis.